Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the Acura TL with Bluetooth phone connectivity. Learn more at Acura.com.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Locke. In 2006, Megan Meyer, a 13-year-old who lived near St. Louis, committed suicide after receiving cruel messages on MySpace. She thought she was communicating with a 16-year-old boy. It now appears it was the mother of a girl she knew who was using a fake online profile. Missouri prosecutors have said they are not able to pursue any criminal charges. State legislators are scrambling to pass a law against online bullying. And now, as Matt Sepik of member station KWMU reports, federal prosecutors are getting involved in the case.
The story is well known. In late 2006, Megan Meyer met Josh Evans on the social networking site MySpace. But Josh soon turned on Megan, allegedly telling her the world would be a better place without you. After that, Megan hanged herself in her closet. But police reports say Josh's MySpace profile was the creation of 48-year-old Lori Drew, who was retaliating against gossip about her daughter. Megan's own mother, Tina Meyer, welcomed the news. Federal prosecutors are now considering charging Drew and others with wire fraud. This from an appearance on NBC's Today Show.
I still truly believe in my heart they absolutely should be criminally prosecuted. So if that's the way it needs to be in the end, then I say go for it.
But in St. Louis, former U.S. Attorney Jim Martin says wire fraud is a long shot for federal prosecutors because it would mean proving MySpace was somehow a victim.
The question is, was there an intent to defraud MySpace? I think MySpace itself would have a hard time arguing that because MySpace's goal is to generate as much activity as possible. They're not concerned whether people are entering with their real name or some other name.
Martin says harassment and bullying are tough things to prove, and the First Amendment makes it hard to limit even hateful speech. Besides that, he says laws against bullying run the risk of being vague. But that hasn't stopped people from trying. Most states require school districts to have anti-bullying policies, and laws in Oregon, Washington, and Arkansas specifically target online harassment. Since the news broke of Megan's suicide, several communities near St. Louis passed misdemeanor bullying ordinances. And in the Missouri legislature, State Senator Scott Roop is pushing an even stronger measure.
We're going to be suggesting that it would be a Class D felony if this is done for an adult to a minor, which is what this case was. And we think that's a little more of an egregious thing, and so it should carry a heavier penalty.
But Nancy Willard says these laws are nothing more than feel-good measures that stem in large part from intense media coverage. Willard runs the Center for Safe and Responsible Internet Use, and she advises schools on internet bullying.
We see very frequently in our society that there's a particularly outrageous case, and then we come up with a criminal law to make us all feel better that we're going to take care of it. But in fact, those laws don't take care of it.
Willard says the best way to eliminate online bullying among children is vigilance on the part of parents, teachers, and kids. Now, MySpace is helping with that effort. The company just announced additional parental controls and promised quick responses to complaints of inappropriate content. In its statement, MySpace made no mention of Megan Meyer. The company's agreement with 49 state attorneys general is aimed at sexual predators. But efforts to rein in one type of crime just could help curb other nasty online behavior. For NPR News, I'm Matt Sepik in St. Louis.
Back now with Day to Day. Need a little extra cash to buy a car or pay off that Visa bill, and you don't want to deal with the banks? Well, you may want to consider person-to-person lending, otherwise known as P2P. One research firm predicts the demand for P2P loans to pay off credit card debt may quadruple to $159 billion over the next 5 years. But before you jump into the P2P game, here's some advice from our personal finance contributor, Michelle Singletary. Welcome back, Michelle.
Thank you. It's good to be here as always.
So, P2P, can you tell us a little bit more about this? Most of these loans are found online. How do they work?
Right. This is basically formalizing what lots of us have already done privately, lending to relatives, to friends, or coworkers. The twist is that you do it on the internet. And there's two type of models. There's people who lend to strangers, people they don't know, and then one model by Virgin Money USA, where you only lend to people you know, relatives, friends, and perhaps coworkers.
So what's the benefit of going this P2P route?
You get scheduled payments, and also you get an interest rate. Oftentimes when you lend to family, friends, you say, oh, here's the money, pay me back when you can. There's no interest charge. When you go through these websites, they formalize everything. In one case, they do, if say you do a mortgage for a friend or family member, they do all the paperwork associated with registering that mortgage, all the things that you would need to do to make it like a real formal loan that you might get from a financial institution. The difference is for the borrower, oftentimes the interest rate is less than what you would get from a financial institution. And on the lender's side, those who are lending the money, they get more for their money than, say, putting it in a regular checking or even a high-yield savings account.
Sounds pretty win-win, and you're helping out your family, your friends. There's got to be some risk here somewhere.
Oh, there's definitely risk. you know, here's the thing. The default rate for this area is still higher than it would be from a financial institution because these are not people experienced in and judging who is credit worthy. And then you toss in the personal relationship angle. You know, lending to your sister or peaches and them, you know what I mean?
We've been there before, yes. Don't want to play repo man with your mom.
Exactly. Are you going to go and get that car that you lent them the money for? And then the other thing is, you know, I was looking at some of the reasons why people wanted some of these loans, and it allows them to use borrowed money to pay off borrowed money. And then I saw one entry where one woman was asking for, I think it was like $3,500 for a vacation that she needed. You don't need a vacation if you have to borrow the money for it. Well, you know, I understand that people feel as if they're entitled to a vacation, but a vacation is something you should pay for cash, not borrow money. And even in her case, I think the interest rate was 14%, which may be less than what she might get on her 18% credit card. But nonetheless, that's something that she ought to be saving for, not borrowing the money for.
Well, so much for my plan to ask you for $100, Michelle Singletary. Thank you very much, Michelle.
You're welcome. You're not going to get it. No, I'm going to tell you to get a job, girl.
She was foiled again. Michelle Singletary is our regular expert on personal finance, and she writes the nationally syndicated column, The Color of Money. Thanks, Michelle.
You're welcome.
On to intellectual property and a scrap over the board game Scrabble. An online version called Scrabulous has gained a following on the social networking site Facebook, but it's not run by Scrabble's owner, Hasbro. Now, Hasbro is MAD. NPR's Wendy Kaufman reports.
Scrabulous was created by two 20-something brothers in India. They launched their own game site in 2006. Last year, they put Scrabulous on Facebook as a free download. Today, it's played by more than 2 million people, like Los Angeles resident Kate Henningsen.
I can play with a friend in Boston. I play with a friend in Montreal. I think it's unfortunate that Hasbro would try to shut it down because it is, I personally think it's building a much bigger fan base for the game.
She means the game of Scrabble. Perhaps it's true, but Hasbro says Scrabulous infringes on its intellectual property. Law professor Peter Minnell of the University of California, Berkeley says Hasbro might convince a court that its trademark had been infringed upon and that Scrabulous had to amend its site.
They might have to avoid some of the advertising that seems to suggest that they are related to Scrabble.
But shutting the game down completely won't be easy. Minnell suggests that the law isn't entirely on Hasbro's side. Hasbro has already contacted Facebook, and the lawyers are said to be looking into it. The maker of Scrabble says it would like to resolve the matter amicably, but Hasbro says if it can't do so quickly, it will try to close down the online game. Wendy Kaufman, NPR News.
This is not the first time Hasbro has gone after an unofficial online version of Scrabble. A few years ago, the company squashed a site called eScrabble. So our last word in business comes from Scrabulous fans who are worried their favorite site will suffer the same fate. The word is BUY. Some fans say Hasbro shouldn't shut down Scrabulous. They want the toy company to purchase the site. And one fan suggests hiring the Scrabulous creators to keep it running. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And here's one more from Beijing. China now has more cell phone subscribers than any other country. But China's government recently began new restrictions on cell phones with video cameras. Government officials are worried about users posting their videos online. Human rights groups say these restrictions are meant to discourage would-be citizen journalists. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports.
The latest internet video to go viral here was shot by an anonymous spectator last month. China Central Television's sports channel was being rebranded as the Olympic Channel. Sports anchor Zhang Bin was about to speak when suddenly his wife, who was also a TV show host, commandeered the microphone.
Today is a special day for the Olympic Channel. It's also a special day for Mr. Zhang Bin. But it's also a special day for me. Because 2 hours ago, I just found out that Mr. Zhang Bin is having an illicit relationship with another woman.
The same week as this snafu, the government banned websites that they don't own or control from displaying internet videos. The ban takes effect at the end of this year. The ministries added that websites should obey a socialist moral code. Websites are now scrambling to find out how the government will apply these rules. At the offices of Youku.com, staffers monitor new videos uploaded by users. In its 1 year in business, Youku.com has attracted $40 million in venture capital and over 100 million video views a day. Founder Victor Ku is hopeful that China's government wants to develop the internet, not strangle it.
There are certainly near-term regulatory as well as investment environment uncertainty. But if you look at the last 10 years, over 10 years of internet development in China, the Chinese government has always been very proactive about development and working with internet companies to create an environment for us to grow.
China's government says it's merely trying to protect young people from obscene and violent internet content. The group Reporters Without Borders said that authorities are restricting online content under the pretext of developing China's media industry. Chinese blogger and journalist Wang Xiaofeng is also critical of the new rules, but he says that a new breed of Chinese citizen journalists has not yet taken advantage of the internet. He says this is because Chinese turn to the web mostly for entertainment. Chinese people are looking for fun, he says, but not finding any, so they turn to the internet. Most websites just post videos that they think will attract more viewers. Only a very small portion are related to social issues. Wang and other critics say that most internet videos are trash. For an example, they point to a woman nicknamed the Accord Girl. In her self-made videos, she claims to be a 26-year-old Beijing resident who likes Honda sedans. In one episode, she talks about her search for Mr. Right.
No way, I can even consider someone who makes less than $1 million a year. That's right, look at housing prices in Beijing. How's a girl supposed to live with anything less than $1 million?
$1 million Chinese yuan is about $130,000.
So, I have just one word for those guys who try to make nice but don't even have cars and homes. Scram! Don't come chasing after me to get your kicks.
Some netizens dismiss the Accord Girl as a cyber vulgarian. Others counter that she's just saying what many people her age really think. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Beijing.
Back now with Day to Day. It's that time of year again in San Francisco when Mac enthusiasts giddily await word of what Apple has in store for the year to come. It's going to be tough to top last year when CEO Steve Jobs showed off the iPhone, but there are still plenty of folks excited about Macworld 2008. One of them is John Moltz. He's the guy behind the website CrazyAppleRumors.com, and he joins us now. And John, can you explain a little bit about your website? What are these crazy Apple rumors?
Well, if you're familiar with The Onion, it's been called the onion of the Apple community. So basically, there are, in reality, a number of rumor sites that try and track Apple on a day-to-day basis and try and figure out what they're coming up with next. And I generally make fun of those sites.
Well, and last year, you know, everyone knew the iPhone was coming. This year, there haven't been too many leaks, so the field's kind of wide open. What have
Right.
you been making fun of?
Well, you know, when you're making fun of stuff, you just have to make up your own fun if there's nothing out there. So robot attacks, you know, USB silly putty, that kind of thing. Those are just some of the things that I have put up recently.
Okay, so all kidding aside, any word as to what some of the big announcements might be out of Macworld this year?
Well, I think some of the consensus bets are around a really lightweight laptop. There were some specs from a patent offering that Apple had put in recently that showed a laptop that you could actually dock into a station that sort of looked like an iMac that slid into the side, and the laptop was really small, and so you could plug it in, and then you'd have a large screen in order to use it on your desktop, and then when you wanted something really light for travel purposes, you just undock it and carry it with you. Kind of similar to some stuff that they had done years ago with the PowerBooks back in the mid-90s.
So last year, there was just so much excitement around this iPhone. You know, you had people camping out in front of the Moscone Convention Center where Macworld was held. This year, is there kind of a feeling of like, okay, another Macworld, won't be as good as last year?
I think people are still excited about it. I mean, people get excited about it every year regardless. Last year, obviously, the hype was pretty big, but still, you know, going into it, nobody really knew if Apple was going to do it or not. And it turned out that they did, and it was a big event. But you're right. I mean, this year there's not as much hype because there's no one big thing that people are looking forward to. But I still think that, you know, there's a good chance that they're going to bring us something that's going to be pretty cool, and you know, at least make it worth my while to go down and see what's going on.
So, John, since you are in the business of making up stuff about Mac, let's go crazy here. If you could have Steve Jobs announce anything tomorrow, your ultimate dream Mac product, what would it be?
For years I've been trying to get Apple to introduce sex bots because I think that Apple is really the company that could provide a lot of value in that arena.
All right, can we check in with you again tomorrow, see what Steve Jobs really has to say?
That would be great.
Sounds good.
Okay.
John Moltz is founder of the website crazyapplerumors.com.